Welcome to the West Elk Word. I'm Tony Todd, here today with Jason Amrich, Chief Executive Officer for Gunnison Valley Health. Jason, welcome.
Hey, good morning. Nice to see you.
Let's start with an introduction to you. Tell us about the journey you've taken that's landed you here.
So I have been in the Valley for a little over 3 years with Gunnison Valley Health. Prior to that, I lived in the Front Range for about 20 years. So I've been in Colorado for a long while, just moved to the Boulder area about a few weeks after 9/11 back in 2001. I'm a New Englander by upbringing. I grew up in Connecticut and then lived in Boston before coming here. I've had a career in healthcare since I graduated. I went to Quinnipiac University in Connecticut, had an undergrad degree in physical therapy, practiced in physical therapy through various settings, and wasn't sure what I wanted to do with my career. I loved being in healthcare. I loved all of the different facets of it. I actually did a little bit of stint in pharmaceutical sales for a little while, got back to physical therapy, worked at the Boulder Center for Sports Medicine in Boulder, ended up running that for a few years, and really started thinking about maybe healthcare management, healthcare leadership is where I wanted to be. I got to work for a couple of great organizations like Kaiser Permanente and then UC Health, where I was able to open up a hospital in Longmont and then able to come to Gunnison in end of 2021. So, for me, I loved the personal interaction with physical therapy. I loved working with athletes, a lot of cyclists, but I think I might have a little bit of ADD. And what I realized, what I like about healthcare administration and leadership is there's so many different problems to solve. And I liked that opportunity to dive into different things during the day. And it's so varied in healthcare, especially trying to run a healthcare system or a hospital and what you have to figure out.
Do you miss the hands-on?
I do. There's, definitely things I miss working with the athletes. I love seeing folks go from a devastating injury or surgery and then get back to the activity or sport that they love. One of the specialties I had when I was practicing was with medical bike fits. So being a cyclist and former mountain bike racer myself, super fun working with that population. One part of my role in Boulder was part leader, part clinician. That was great, but that also becomes pretty untenable when you're trying to figure out how to run a whole organization. So I had to make a choice at some point. Do I want to be clinician or leader or administrator? And so I went the administrator route.
Well, there are lots of things changing at Gunnison Valley Health. The thing that comes to my mind first is the clinics. Orthopedics and family practice in particular, they stand out to me as two that were once independent of GVH and are now under that umbrella. How did that come about and how will that be beneficial?
Yeah, it's a great question. When I first moved to the Valley, especially on the orthopedic side, it felt like we had an orthopedic problem that was too big for a Valley this small, is how I used to describe it. And not enough, I think, cohesiveness or collaboration. There were fairly distinct camps, it felt like, of who you could see or who you would tell your friends who you would see. And I think we were missing out on some of the collaboration. Bringing the whole practices together. There's obviously expense when you have multiple front office staffs and multiple people doing the same role. And so when I came here, I was trying to figure out, is there a possible way to figure out how to navigate the different practices? And is there an opportunity to bring folks together under one roof, right? And that way the community can choose the orthopedic practice and then go see the surgeon they want to within that practice, but not necessarily feel like they have to choose one individual doc only. And then maybe declare their allegiance or declare like I'm only going to go here, which I think, historically here it had some effect on separation. Wanted to try to figure out, tackle that early on. It took some time, obviously. I mean, there's a lot of dynamics that go on with all of that. One of the things I wanted to do was just show, here's how we can benefit the community. Here's how it can benefit the organization. And then how can it not change access to care? I think that was the really big thing. Like, for me, it's really important is, can we keep care local? Can we keep access for the community? And then can we make it easy for everybody involved, whether that's the physicians, the front office staff, the folks actually seeking the care? And I feel like that is one of the big benefits that we've had. What we realized with Vail Summit Orthopedics when they were here, it's hard to run a clinic here from afar, especially with just the geographic separation. And so being able to get from, the I-70 corridor over to Gunnison is really hard, even in summer. And so I think that became a barrier. And then when I was talking with that group, I said, hey, I'm happy to invest in the ambulatory surgery center, happy to buy your practice in physical space, and it'll actually help us out. And it all kind of came together about a year or so after I started.
I imagine that one of the biggest obstacles with a project like that is overcoming some egos. Orthopedic surgeons tend to be pretty confident. They have to be because they're cutting people open. So you have to be a confident person. And sometimes those strong ways of believing in the way something should work can butt up against maybe what could be a better way to work.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think one of the things that helped me out is that a majority of my career, especially in leadership, has been in the orthopedic space. So I've led orthopedics in Boulder County, up and down the Front Range, and in Northern Colorado, and have been able to work with various orthopedic groups of different sizes. Even in my pharmaceutical sales days, I was calling on orthopedic surgeons from Denver through Cheyenne. I think that experience in working directly with that specialty, with those types of physicians, allowed me to have the right conversations, gave me the credibility. I think I was able to demonstrate in various ways when I was leading an orthopedic service line, here's what we did. Here's how it benefited the doctor. Here's how it benefited the patient. And I think it became that, can we trust Jason? Can we be collaborative? Will he be collaborative? Will he try to take over and tell me what to do? And I think as we, you know, moved along, it was like, no, let's figure out our shared goals together. Let's see what makes sense. And then I think that helped pave the way of, okay, we can move down this path in a way that feels like we're going to problem solve and be collaborative.
And how about the family practice clinics?
So a little different than orthopedics. When I first, you know, came to the Valley, just trying to understand the primary care landscape and understanding, obviously, there was a Gunnison Valley Health-owned primary care family medicine clinic. And then there was Gunnison Valley Family Physicians, which really had that long-standing independent base in the community for decades, right? I mean, I think Jay McMurrin really has helped put that practice on the map, keep it stable and run forever. So, you know, when I got to the community, I just started having conversations. You know, is there a reason why we should come together? Is there a benefit? What should we do? And I think early on, the answer was no. Like, let's just keep on doing what we're doing. I wanted to make sure that hospital services met the needs of GVFP. And I think just over the months and years, we just started having continued conversations. I think one of the hardest things to do right now is to run an independent private practice of any kind, whether that's specialty and or primary care being even more difficult. And I think because of that relationship and just trying to create an olive branch as GVFP was navigating their own issues, I think the doctors and the physicians said, I'm doing all of this work taking care of my patients. That's only half of it. That there's all these other things we have to do to keep practice afloat. And so you had physicians acting as the IT director, the facilities people, HR department, and that's a lot of time, effort, and energy when they really just want to be in front of the patient, doing great care, having those conversations, taking care of the community. And so I think it became an outlet for GVFP to say, you know what, maybe there's a new pathway. Maybe we can become a part of the hospital. I can still focus on being a doctor and we'll have the longevity and hopefully the stability of keeping this practice in the community. So when I had one of those conversations, I think it was maybe late June of last summer, it was pretty obvious that they were, you know, looking for a new path and that maybe that their runway was going to end at some point without any help. And as the CEO of GVH, even if that practice wasn't mine, I couldn't bear the thought of this community losing access to primary care. I mean, they were a bigger primary care group than we had and more patients in a bigger panel. And I'm like, not on my watch. So it became kind of a no-brainer for GVH to figure out how to work with GVFP. And so I think we did it in a matter of maybe 90 days. It was like, hey, we're talking about this in June. I don't think we want to be in business past November 1. This is what GVFP was saying. And I'm like, all right, let's figure this out. Let's try to make it happen as quickly as possible. And so I'm grateful that we were able to do that. There's still a lot we have to work on. And I know that, you know, some of our community members are like, I don't know which number to call, which practice am I going at? And so we're still working through some of those issues. But the having the collaboration of primary care now and almost that economy of scale of all those providers under one umbrella, I think is going to really help improve care, improve access as we flesh out some of our operating issues, because there's still things we have to work on, but that's going to get better. And that's where when we put everybody in one roof, at least in Gunnison, that's going to also be a huge win for us. here in Crested Butte, we were in the yellow building on the four-way. And then, you know, GVIP was across the street. We quickly tried to figure out how do we get out of that yellow building and move into the GVIP practice, because we really want that one unified door to enter for primary care.
Speaking of roofs, I want to ask you about the building on Tamichi, mm-hmm. right next door to the dive, that I know you own, or GVH yep. owns. What's the plan for that, and what are your plans for that one roof concept?
Yeah, so I think right now we have many flags planted across the county, and we really want to have just a few big flags, singular places that folks can come and know this is the place where I access care. I think over the years, our ambulatory buildings and facilities are lacking investment. I mean, if you go to other communities, there's newer, brighter, shinier ambulatory medical office building space. And we want to bring that standard of care to this community and give folks that gift of this is where I get care from a great building, great doctors, great place. So we're trying to figure that out as we look at all the different places that we inhabit, both in the North Valley and the South Valley. And because of that, over the years, GVH has acquired land to figure out what makes sense. Where are we going to put a singular medical office building? Would we put a specialty clinic somewhere else? And so in Gunnison specifically, we own the former Dollar Tree next to the dive. And then we have 1.2 acres north of the Tractor Supply Company right near the Atmos building. Then across the street, we have 4.2 acres. Where a lot of folks will see our construction being staged for our paramedics building, which is just to the south, right near Six Points. And so right now, our big goal is, we know, especially with the acquisition of Gunnison Valley Family Physicians, I've got two primary care spaces in Gunnison. I've got a behavioral health space. I've got another, you know, clinic over here. Like, we need to be in one singular space for so many different reasons. So we are actively trying to plan a medical office building space, likely on that 4.2 acres, where it can really be seen as the hub of care. And, you know, my vision is to have both GVH clinics there, as well as does a dentist want to join us? Does the eye doctor want to join us? Does a chiropractor want to join us? So we're trying to figure out, how big is it? How much will it cost? What can we afford? How will we finance it? And part of that financing could be selling some of our property in some of the greenfield space, like the 1.2 acres by Atmos, or potentially the Dollar Tree. Right now, though, because of the unknown in finances and what's happening in the federal government, our ability to potentially get a USDA loan, but the USDA office having its own challenges with you know, cuts and people leaving, we're really trying to figure out, like, what can we afford responsibly? But if we need to scale back from that medical office building concept, which we really want, then that building next to the dollar store is a really viable space for a unified primary care office. So until we get definitive movement on what our medical office building is going to be, we're going to hold on to some of this land for a little bit longer. However, we want to make sure that whatever we're doing, we can turn over the space or sell a space that's of the greatest good to community need, right? Living in Gunnison, I'd like to see continued vibrancy from an economic development standpoint, businesses or hotel or housing, any of those things that can bring that vibrancy to the valley. And I'd love to be able to sell some of that land to some concept like that, or something that just helps out the greater good of the public. So that's really our motivation. And once we figure out our medical office building project, then I think we'll have an idea of, we can relinquish this property or that. One of the calculuses, though, that we're trying to figure out is just how much Gunnison will grow or not grow. And then, do we need to have a little bit of a land bank just in case we have to expand? And so that is a strategy that a lot of healthcare systems and healthcare organizations will use, is having some land that they keep for future development. A great example of that is in Northern Colorado and UC Health in Loveland on the Harmony campus. That was a long-term land bank play that Rulon Stacy did. And I think the community is like, why is this organization buying up so much land? But it actually then turned into their premier cancer center, urgent care, office buildings. And I think the community now probably can't imagine not having that corner be all of that hospital and healthcare. So much smaller scale, smaller strategy, But we're trying to figure out, is that something we have to at least think of before we just relinquish it? Because everybody knows land costs don't necessarily go down, at least over the last several years. And so we want to be really good stewards of our own funds and of our own budget to make sure that we're doing the right thing for the future.
Are there grant opportunities you can take advantage of as well?
There are some grants. I think, again, our concern is, you know, what is the state and or future state of federal funding? And what will we even have access to? We've been able to get some grant funding for our paramedics building on the geothermal side. So we're utilizing geothermal technology for that building, and we've been able to get a grant for that. We're hoping that that same grant still comes through. We think it's fine. And so we'll be evaluating that depending on the state of the, I guess, the grant world, federal funding world. I've also thought about maybe going down the congressionally directed spending route for medical office buildings, because in other rural communities across Colorado, some organizations have had some success getting that congressional directed spending. So I would love to do that. And then we're also looking at, if we didn't do USDA, would we do some sort of bond? And as you can imagine, there's a lot of factors that go into that. So we're trying to make sure that we partner with the right people that can get us the information that we need, so the board and myself can make the right decision.
If you are just joining us here today on the West Elk Word, I'm Tony Todd, here with Jason Amrich, Chief Executive Officer for Gunnison Valley Health. You mentioned the EMS paramedic building. What's the update on that?
Oh, that's a great project. Hopefully folks are able to see the building going up. And I think they might have done construction through one of the hardest, coldest winters ever. Checking with that crew, not only was it cold outside, but inside the building when they were pouring concrete and whatnot. We think it might have been the coldest place in America. But they were amazing. They worked through that. So we're still on track for a fall opening, September, October-ish, somewhere through there. It's such a much needed upgrade for our paramedic service. They cover over 4,000 square miles. And right now they're doing it out of kind of what we call the barn garage. Next door, we have some temporary sleeping quarters that they sleep in. But these guys and gals are getting so many calls, you know, per year. And we're really doing it out of a substandard type of facility. And they're award winning, right? So not only is the crew responding to a lot of volume, but they are innovators and they're winning awards. And we often have the Paramedic Chief Award, or Paramedic of the Year, Paramedic Medical Director, EMS Service of the Year. So to be able to see this building going up, knowing that they'll be able to live in the space above the rigs, they'll have a meeting space. I mean, I think it's going to just be so transformative for them. And then our hope is it also just shortens the timeline for their response. So the minute the call comes in, they can roll out of their bed or roll out of their office and get into the rigs and get going on the call, which I think the community will appreciate as well.
I have to say that there were a few times when I drove by that building this winter and was amazed that people were working on it. Yeah. Wow, they're working today? It's 15 below zero out there.
Yeah, they persevered. Those guys just got it done. And I think one of the things we're really proud about with the building is just the response from the community on the philanthropy side. Really successful fundraising of all different types of donations. We have some pretty incredible, you know, large donors, but a lot of also small donors. And what we've kind of recognized or seen is, as we start talking about, you know, what do you want on your worst day? Who do you want coming to see you? Or do you have even a story you can share? It really personalized why this building was so important. And it really made the ability for our funding objective completed pretty easy. For the most part, because folks were saying, yes, when I call 911, I want these guys and gals to come. I want them well rested. I want them coming from a great building. And I think, you know, there were a lot of personal stories that folks have shared that say, when I was out in the backcountry, when I was out riding my horse, or I just was having a really bad day and they came and took care of my loved one, that really helped facilitate an incredible amount of generous giving for the paramedics building.
I understand we have a few new specialists in the neighborhood as well.
Yeah, we do. You know, I think we're always trying to figure out at GVH how we can keep care close to home, right? If we don't provide it, or if it doesn't get provided in the Gunnison Valley, it's an hour and 15 over mountain passes, through canyons, over closed bridges. I mean, thankfully, the bridge situation in the Little Blue Canyon construction project is done, but it's still a drive. So we're always trying to figure out what can we do local that we can provide either through somebody at Gunnison Valley Health or somebody that we can partner with. And a lot of it is that subspecialty care. So, you know, we've got a great urologist that comes over from Heart of the Rockies, Dr. Weedle, and he's been getting busier and busier over the last couple of years. So we're really happy to have that specialty. Our cardiology service, Dr. Wilkins, is also part of Montrose, and he's here 3 to 4 days a week in the community. And then we continue to look at what other subspecialties we're trying to bring. So we're still focused on finding a fellowship-trained hand surgeon to come and support our orthopedic practice, because that is a really specific practice. We have foot and ankle. Dr. Tim Garamy has been coming into GVH. We may have to discontinue that for a little bit, because I think one of the hardest things it is for GVH is that calculus of what's our specialty need, but how much volume or business is there really? And then what do I need for doctor time to come? Is that once a month? Is that twice a month? How much is that going to cost? And some of these physicians who are really loyal to the Valley that want to come and help, they're also leaving really busy practices, whether it's in Colorado Springs or in Laramie, Wyoming. And so it's a hard choice to say, how do I leave that, come here for maybe a community that's not as big or as busy as my home community, and do that without causing major disruption to their life? So we try to figure out at GVH, do we have enough volume? Is that a half day a month? Is that 2 days a month? Can we make it worth their time to come? Can our community actually produce the amount of visits we need? So there's a lot of behind the scenes math and figuring out. But one of the great services that we're seeing right now is cataract surgery. So we brought Dr. Solomon in. He does cataract surgery, I think the same thing, about once a month. So those are the things that we really focus on, knowing that we can't be all things to everybody, but we really want to try to figure out how to keep that care local.
It must be tough to figure that out, because you have a community that's kind of accustomed to going outside the Valley to seek certain services. Yep. And so how do you know how many of those people there really are?
It's actually a pretty difficult calculation. I mean, we do have access to data, and to some market share data and referral data. We obviously know our own out referral data from primary care and can understand where we've referred out to and why. We also utilize our community health needs assessment, which is something we do every 3 years to understand what is the community telling us that they're asking for. That's where our whole behavioral health program came from, was a CHNA that was done, you know, before I got here. Our women's health services we're trying to build as well came from that same information. Try to get physician referral data, try to understand word of mouth, community need, utilize the CHNA, and then try to start small. And then I think the hard part is do those doctors exist that want to come here once a month, right? And I think the other part we think about is, how do you then create the follow-up care? So when that doctor is gone for 3 weeks, who can that person see for follow-up care or post-op care or something that still feels like a great continuum of care? So we really focus on that as well, because we don't want to just have someone come in, they fly out, and there's no follow-up. We really want to make sure that there is that comprehensive follow-up. So we really think about that. And then a little bit of it's, let's test it. Let's figure out how it works. Let's start small. Usually that once a month type of method is the best place to begin. And then after that, can we increase? So ENT is another specialty that we are trying to figure out what that volume is. We had a specialist come over from Heart of the Rockies. I think that travel back and forth became a little bit too arduous for that group. So now we're trying to figure out, is there an opportunity for both Dr. Noel from Montrose and another ENT who actually has a home here in Crested Butte, who lives on the East Coast? Would he want to come and do one of those, you know, fly in for a week, and then Dr. Noel comes for the other week, so we have some continuum of care with ENT.
What is ENT?
Ears, nose, and throat. But it really is a challenge. And I think what is unique about our community is, although folks are used to traveling, I think because of just the unique community that we are, there's also an expectation of, how do I have some of that same front range or Grand Junction type of access to care, even though we are remote? I mean, we're not only rural, we're actually considered frontier as a hospital. And at the same time, we have a population that's savvy, that's educated, and that wants access to really good care. So we're trying to figure out how to do that, but also in a way that's financially responsible, so that I'm not paying just a specialist an exorbitant amount of money for five patients in a clinic.
What else, Jason, do you think folks should know about Gunnison Valley Health?
Yeah, one of the biggest projects we have going on right now is we are moving to a unified medical health record called Epic, and that is taking Gunnison Valley Health from four or five separate records that we utilize, whether it's an inpatient, whether it's our ED, our physician practice, our physical therapy clinic, et cetera, are all on different records. And that is a problem when it comes to how these talk to each other, what information you can see, and a problem for the community to say, hey, how do I see my note? How do I see my follow-up results? Which portal do I log into? So we made a conscious effort several years ago to evaluate which electronic health record we wanted to look at. And so we looked at several. We narrowed it down to two, narrowed it down to one, and then narrowed it down to which one of the health systems could provide Epic to us. Ultimately, UC Health won, and we are getting their instance of Epic. It's called Community Connect. They're going to host all the information. We get their excellence and their experience in implementation and IT infrastructure and background, and we will be going live with that May 3rd. It's a big undertaking. My team is doing a ton of training.
So on May 4th, be patient. Yes. If things aren't perfect with your portal.
May the 4th be with you, and then maybe Cinco de Mayo we'll have to celebrate. Once we go live on May 3rd, it is, you know, a 4 to 6 week process.
You've got your plate full.
It's never a dull moment in healthcare, and then you throw in an interesting federal government, and, you know, we're keeping our eye on what's happening at the federal level from an advocacy and legislative affairs perspective, as well as the state level. Really trying to be mindful of, you know, what the budgets look like, what is our funding from Medicare and Medicaid, how are we paying attention to what insurance companies are doing, and again, you know, as we look at what kind of care to provide, our other focus is how can we make sure that operationally and financially we're going to be here forever. Because we owe it to the community. We're also one of the biggest employers in the Valley. And so we also drive a lot of economic impact. So it's not lost on me that the success of GVH also needs to be thought of in the long-term years to decades down the road way of how are we ensuring that this organization is stable and thriving.
Jason Amrich, thank you so much for joining me today on the West Elk Word.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Support for KBUT comes from Towny Books and Rumors Coffee and Tea House, serving locally roasted coffee and fine loose leaf teas. Towny Books stocks new books for children and adults and can special order anything. Drink coffee, read books, fight evil. That's it for this edition of the West Elk Word. You can listen to this or previous editions of the program at kbut.org. I'm Tony Todd. Thanks for listening. See you next week.